I really can't see through the lights at the minute. Naomi, thank you for that introduction. I must say, I was at the back of the hall listening to you talking, and I couldn't help but notice the contrast with a few weeks ago when the Ulster Unionists elected a new leader. He took the first opportunity he had to tell everyone he grew up in the leafy suburbs of East Belfast. He actually said, if I'd lived a mile nearer the city centre, I couldn't have been leader. When Naomi Long grew up more than a mile nearer the city centre than Mike Nesbitt did. She got where she got, not because of an accident of birth, but because of hard work and determination. She was councillor and Lord Mayor because of her dedication to serving the people of Belfast. She won a parliamentary seat because she inspired dozens of us to go out and work for her and thousands to go out and vote for her. Because in Alliance, we don't care where you're from or what school you went to. What we care about is what you're doing to make Northern Ireland a better place. And we could have no finer example than Naomi. Well, conference, we meet today at least in part to celebrate. And everybody else is celebrating, so I'm going to join in too. To celebrate the tremendous election victories of last year. 50% increase in our number of councillors, including representation in four councils where we'd previously had no representation. Ballymena, Coleraine, Craigavon and Down. A bigger group continuing to hold the balance of power and ensure good sense in Belfast. Twice as many councillors as the UUP here in Castlereagh. And then there were the Assembly elections. All six outgoing MLAs who sought re-election returned easily, joined by Judith Cochrane, who gained a seat, and by Stuart Dixon, who succeeded our much-loved former leader, Sean Neeson. Total vote up 50% overall, an extra seat, two near misses. And those votes and that extra seat giving us the entitlement to, for the first time ever, a specific seat at the executive's table allocated proportionately. So a couple of weeks later, Stephen Farry joined me at the executive table. But in half of Northern Ireland, we're now not the fifth party. In half of Northern Ireland centred on Belfast, as a result of last year's elections, we're now the third party. That's some progress. That's some victory. That's leading change. Just at the beginning of this week, a couple of journalists reminded me of the accuracy of some of my recent election predictions. 2 years ago, I told conference that Naomi could win East Belfast, and she did. Last year, I predicted we could have two Alliance ministers, and we have. So wait for it. This year, here is my election prediction. There isn't going to be an election in May. But if there was, boy, would we do well this year too. So with no election, it gives a bit more time for a sort of detailed reflection on where we stand this weekend, the 42nd birthday of this party, where we've come from and where we're going, and in particular looking at the 14 years, one third of our party's life since the Good Friday Agreement. Back in 1998, in that immediate post-agreement period, there were high hopes of a political shift, that support would move away from the so-called extremes, but those high hopes were simply not fulfilled. For a time, it was difficult to convey our party's role, when people could perhaps have been forgiven for thinking that Alliance's job was done, that what we'd worked for had been secured, with power sharing in Northern Ireland, with north-south structures, with acceptance of the principle of consent. And the two governments backed the UUP and the SDLP to deliver as the way forward. Of course, we knew that Alliance was about much more than these objectives. They were merely a framework within which we would continue to work for a genuinely shared future. Or put differently, in the language of a civil engineer, the agreement wasn't a ceiling to our ambitions, but the foundation on which we would build a different society. But the prevailing view elsewhere was that leadership was granted to the UUP and the SDLP, subsequently to the DUP and Sinn Féin. It was assumed that all would be resolved by the political elites from either side of the old divide. Well, we should acknowledge that there's been some progress, and of course we welcome that progress. We are in a better place than we were a few years ago. We will recognise genuine movement towards our vision, movement from any quarter. But let us not be deluded. Let us not shy away from pointing out where those high expectations of 1998, the hopes of an overwhelming majority who voted in that referendum on the agreement, simply haven't been fulfilled. We will not be frightened away from pointing out where we need to go further, or where the rhetoric of unionist and nationalist leaders simply isn't reflected by the reality of what we see in the communities that we represent. That's why Alliance is now so relevant, why our support is growing. Those who founded Alliance back in 1970 were impatient for change, impatient to see a transformation of Northern Ireland. They came together from a variety of political backgrounds, but they united. They formed an alliance of progressives who put the past divisions behind them to change Northern Ireland. That small group, led by Oliver Napier and Bob Cooper, had a real vision, but not just a vision which they determined to put into practice and which they sacrificed much to achieve. Sadly, we said farewell last year to Oliver, and Naomi's already paid a very significant tribute to him. Sir Oliver was the driving force behind the formation of the party, bringing his background in the Ulster Liberal Party and his commitment to non-sectarian politics. He became leader on the formation of the 1973 Assembly and was minister in the Office of Law Reform. Oliver led Alliance right through to the Assembly of 1982-85 and was actively involved in the negotiating team that represented Alliance in 96-98 in the run-up to Good Friday. And as Naomi reminded us, Oliver came so close to winning the East Belfast seat for Alliance in 1979, but he lived to see Naomi win that seat and to play his part in the campaign 2 years ago. And who could forget that powerful, determined speech which he made at the 40th anniversary dinner? So today we remember all that Oliver achieved with real thanks and gratitude. But for his leadership, we would not be where we are today, and nor would Northern Ireland. Oliver and Bob and that team in 1970 were impatient. They simply weren't prepared to accept the status quo then, and nor are we in 2012. That's why we panned the cohesion sharing and integration strategy when it was published by the DUP and Sinn Féin in 2010. Should we have praised their achievement in agreeing any strategy at all? Well, some might say so, but I say certainly not. Our job, even now that we're in the executive, is not to walk away from our principles or water down our determination. Our task is to hold to our ideals, to demand the actions that we know are needed. That is why, even though we have worked with the other parties to try to produce a CSI strategy worthy of the name, we will not sign up to anything that sells that name short. The test for our support will be high, because what is at stake is whether or not the executive will deliver for our community on the biggest single challenge facing us, the creation of a genuinely shared future. So let me be absolutely clear. I consider the CSI strategy is one of the most important pieces of work that the Assembly will do in this mandate. I've asked Chris Little, as Vice Chair of the OFM-DFM Committee, to make it a priority, to engage with the other four parties, to work for the strongest possible strategy, to enable us to build a real shared future. I will not sign off on any strategy that doesn't result in more children being educated together, more people living in shared housing communities, more interface structures coming down, and a robust process for dealing with the scourge of flags and emblems that blight and label so many areas of Northern Ireland. Being in a coalition may require compromise, but I will not compromise on a shared future, and nor will this party. But of course, we know that everyone's talking of a shared future these days. When he's not threatening to collapse the power-sharing executive over the badge on a cap that some prison officers wear, Peter Robinson's talking about a shared future. When they're not insisting on maintaining the sectarian designations of the Good Friday Agreement forever and a day, the SDLP are talking about a shared future. When he's not wrapping himself in the union flag at his own party AGM, Mike Nesbitt's talking about a shared future. And when they're not cutting the funding of all the Department of Education's cross-community youth programmes, Sinn Féin are talking about a shared future. But you know, talk is cheap, just like a ticket for the odd sports event being played by the other side. Genuine leaders would turn up at Windsor Park before and not after God Save the Queen. Or they'd arrive in Armagh in time for Aran Devine before the Dr. McKenna Cup match. Gestures may be a good start, but gestures are empty if they don't lead to actions with more substance. Because what costs in leadership is to actually lead, to go into communities and start to talk about lowering barriers instead of raising them, about building connections rather than fences. What Peter Robinson preaches in the press is what he and his DUP colleagues should actually put into practice on the streets of East Belfast. And what costs is also to face down boards of schools and teacher training colleges and say to them, sorry, we know you're proud of your history, but time has come to think of the future, and segregation isn't part of the future that any of us should be paying taxes for. What Martin McGuinness claims to aspire to, he and his Sinn Féin colleagues should deliver in relation to teacher training. Those two men, Robinson and McGuinness, have spent a lot of time in the last year looking back to the achievements of our industrial past. But in doing so, how much attention have they actually paid to the fact that politicians' actions in the decade of 1910 to 1920 entrenched the divisions that we're living with today, the politicians whose mantle they claim to inherit? So I say to them, let's not just look back 100 years, let's learn the lessons and look forward, even 10 years. There's a real question to be asked. Are we to spend the next 10 years rewriting the past or writing a new future, a shared future, a future for all of us, freed from the sectarian dogmas of the past? If anyone wants to know what a shared future looks like, just look around this room. Just look at who we are, the diverse backgrounds we come from. Look at what we say and what we do. Look at what we campaign for in councils, in Westminster, in the Assembly, and in the two departments we run. Look at the shared future checklist we produced for the election and ask, could any other party subscribe to all 10 points? You've already heard from Stephen about his work in the Department for Employment and Learning. You know what a difference it is making to Dell to have not just a competent minister, but an alliance minister in charge, and how Stephen is using his opportunities to work for a shared future, delivering change in a key economic department. We all know that the DUP and Sinn Féin have stated their intention to remove the Department for Employment and Learning. There are two possible explanations. Perhaps it's just vandalism against an important economic department at a time of economic difficulty, rather than the properly thought through reform that we want to see. But maybe it really is malice against alliance, because the growing strength of this party is a threat to the big two, especially in East Belfast. You know, it happens all over the world. Ministers lose their posts. That's politics. But it looks to me as if Stephen is about to establish a record. He's the first minister anywhere in these islands threatened with the sack because both he and his party are successful in what they're aiming to do. As you've heard, Stephen is working on a strategy for young people not in education, employment or training. He's dealt with a difficult issue of tuition fees in higher education. He's begun to tackle vested interests over the way in which we segregate teacher training with all the associated costs. So in case you think it's only Dell that's achieving, let me say a little about the work of the Department of Justice and the agenda for radical reform that we're engaged in. As Stephen has done in Dell, I have tasked officials with assessing the cost of division that fall to the DOJ. While the work is not yet complete, it is clear that we waste significant sums because of the segregated nature of our society. Last year, I was able to tell a conference we were developing a new community safety strategy to build safer, shared, and confident communities. As I said then, would we have included the word shared if it hadn't been for an alliance minister? The department has a key role in supporting the work of the police service. The reforms to establish new policing and community safety partnerships are all about ensuring that we build better relationships between police officers and communities in every part of Northern Ireland. Modern policing has a big part to play in delivering a shared future. And as Minister responsible for prisons, I devote a lot of time to reform of our prison system. Unlike the police service, there were no big changes to the organisation of prisons in the years after the agreement. Indeed, I was recently told by a former direct rule minister that prison reform was put in the too difficult file and left for a devolved minister. Well, conference, too difficult is not a term that I understand or any alliance minister understands. Like much else in the field of justice, rather than being too difficult to do, prison reform is far too important not to do. So I can assure you that we're now actively tackling the reform programme. We're changing from a model dominated by concerns about custody to one in which we're actively working to make society safer by reform and rehabilitation. I was delighted to open the new Learning and Skills Centre at McGabbery Prison in the company of the Minister for Employment and Learning, Stephen Farry, working with me because his department recognises the important role that it can play in the reform process. That's not just an Alliance Minister delivering change, it's two Alliance Ministers delivering change together. And we've already referred this morning to one of the legacy issues faced by my department, the responsibility for so-called peace walls. Interface barriers are an utter blight on parts of Belfast and some other towns. They're daily reminders of the world that we want to leave behind. Early in my ministerial post, I was asked to extend a wall in Belfast because of antisocial behaviour and minor acts of violence and fears it would escalate. I don't blame the civil servants concerned. They were reacting as they'd been conditioned to do under direct rule. But I have spent a political lifetime seeking to end division. I opposed vociferously the last ugly barrier built at Hazelwood Integrated Primary School. Yes, the irony, at Hazelwood Integrated Primary School. There had to be a better way of dealing with it now. So over a few tense meetings, we worked out how we could support those working with young people either side of that divide and invest in people, not in barriers. We didn't extend the barrier there, and that set the tone for a different attitude. So last summer, when there was serious rioting in East Belfast, we didn't extend barriers to make them higher or longer, though we did address crime in other ways. And in September, I had an enormous privilege, one of my most positive experiences as minister. I didn't just talk to officials, partners, the local community about opening up barriers. I went up the Antrim Road to Alexandra Park and helped a dozen children cut a ribbon and open a gate in a barrier that had divided that park. The event was covered live on BBC News 24. How sad, how utterly ironic that opening a gate in a public park made live national news, but how absolutely positive that local people from both sides of that barrier, supported by groundwork, the City Council, the Community Relations Council, the police and the Department of Justice, wanted to open the barrier that had artificially divided them for so long. That morning, one of those present spoke of a peace gate, and he was absolutely right. Because walls are a symbol of hate, while opening up walls is a symbol of progress towards the peaceful society that we desire. As well as Alexandra Park, we've also seen progress at Newington Street and Northumberland Street, with more expected in North Belfast. We're working with the International Fund to resource work with local communities who want to remove barriers. That is Alliance Delivering Conference, delivering, working in a partnership and leading change. Of course, one of the key ways in which the Department of Justice works is that we agreed a programme before I became minister. That has ensured that an Alliance minister is able to implement Alliance policies in what would potentially be one of the most contentious departments. And as Minister of Justice, I'm pleased to have close, friendly working contacts with Alan Chatter, TD, the Irish Minister for Justice, Equality and Defence, and with Kenny McCaskill, MSP, the Scottish Cabinet Secretary for Justice. It's another example of the constructive, practical attitude that we take to the tripartite nature of relationships in this region, on this island, and within these islands. But it isn't just common sense for my department. It was also a great pleasure for Alliance, a conference last night, to strengthen friendships with the Taoiseach speaking to our conference dinner, and to strengthen further friendships this afternoon with Vernon Coker MP, the Shadow Secretary of State, and Brian Hayes TD, Minister of State, addressing conference. Positive, friendly relationships of the kind which Alliance is committed to. Conference, I think we can take pride in what we've achieved in the last year, but we must never lose sight of our ultimate goal. What we've achieved simply marks out some of the early steps on the way. Earlier on, I spoke about Oliver Napier, and as Naomi also said, we lost another stalwart of Alliance more recently with the passing of Addy Morrow. Addy, deputy leader of the party, as well as a Castlereagh councillor for 16 years, 16 long years, and a member of the 1982 Assembly. He served Alliance in so many different roles, and he was an inspiration to me and to many others. Addy was utterly committed to peace and reconciliation in every aspect of his life. While he rejoiced in our recent electoral success, I know he also feared that as a community, we simply haven't done enough to secure a peaceful and genuinely shared future. Addy was certain, though, that among all the parties, Alliance alone was really determined to transform this society and to build a shared future. I've mentioned recent elections, the elections that gave so much pleasure to the likes of Oliver and Addy, who'd laboured so long. The trend of results over recent years is clear. There are two parties, the UUP and the SDLP, which are mirror images of each other, casting about for relevance as their support drains away, no longer able to convey a sense of purpose to the electorate because they can't agree what that purpose is, casting about for relevance but failing to connect. And there are another two parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP, which are also mirror images of each other. But if the SDLP and the UUP are to be pitied, the DUP and Sinn Féin are to be feared. There's plenty of fine rhetoric, but beyond the rhetoric, they have settled into a cosy carve-up. Just look at their record. The proposed destruction of the Department for Employment and Learning, plans for the dual carriageway between Derry and Auchnacloy, major spending decisions like that, taken on the basis of one for me and one for you. The Social Investment Fund, which has every appearance of a slush fund for their friends and supporters, an agreed policy where they share out the spoils of victory over their unionist and nationalist rivals, entrenching their positions and the divisions that their policies represent. Well, so much for the two parties left behind in the past and the two parties operating the carve-up in the present. Let's look at the fifth party, this party, a party on the rise, looking to the future. Our message is clearly connecting with people, and we're showing that we can deliver. In Westminster, in the Assembly, in council chambers, on the streets, and in the third and fourth biggest spending departments. Remember what I said at the beginning about our electoral progress, the third party in one half of the region with representation in five councils in the other half, and significant electoral campaigns last year in six more, something we hadn't done for many years. Alliance is building on strong support in many areas and breaking new ground in others. We're setting targets and meeting them, making promises to voters and keeping them. And we're certainly not resting on our laurels after last year. The party executive has made detailed and ambitious plans for the future. So today, I make a clear appeal to those who vote for, those who are members of, and even those who are elected as representatives of these other parties. Do you want to go on forever, locked into the same old politics? Or do you want to see a step change, a radical shift in the politics of this place? To those in the Ulster Unionist and the SDLP, are these parties really going to recover? Are they really going to deliver the kind of future that our community needs? If you think they are, carry on. But if your ambition is change, if you want to see a genuinely shared future, will you ever be able to achieve it in those parties? Do you want your politics to be defined by a never-ending battle for unionist votes or nationalist votes? Or do you want your politics to be defined by the kind of society that we need to build? So to those people, I challenge you, take a look at our shared future checklist. If you agree with it, if you can sign up to it, then this is the party you should be in if you really want to transform society. Because in this party, there are people who consider themselves nationalist and people who consider themselves unionist, people who consider themselves neither and people who consider themselves both. And those positions are all fine. Because in this party, while we may have different backgrounds, we may wish to hold on to them, we don't let them imprison us. So if you want to transform this society and build a united community, it really is time to move out and move on. Don't wait for the future to happen, to come along at some point down the line. Join us, play your part, make it happen, now, tomorrow, and in the coming weeks and months. Your conference, one of the things that depresses me is when I talk to people on the doorsteps and hear them say that they want things to change, they hope they do, but they don't think it'll happen in their lifetime. Maybe their children's children will be educated together. Maybe barriers will be brought down by another generation yet unborn. Well, we shouldn't believe it, and we shouldn't accept it, and I refuse to accept it. I joined Alliance, I volunteered with Alliance, worked with Alliance, represented Alliance, and now lead Alliance, because I believe that the politics of a country can change. The countries can be transformed, not simply by ending violence, welcome though that is, but by truly uniting our community. Today, I must mention another person in that context, one who lit a candle for this society rather than to curse the darkness. Ray Davey founded the Corrymeela community back in 1965, at a time of supposed peace, because he recognised the need to reconcile this community, that the end of the last period of violence didn't mean a shared society. He died earlier this week, but he left us a powerful legacy, and he remains a huge inspiration. To build a truly peaceful society, there's much more to be done than ending violence, much more than just encouraging better relationships between two distinct groups. We need to move from a concept of community relations to a spirit of sharing and real cohesion. In Alliance, We follow in a noble tradition of dissenters. We dissented in 1970 when we established this party, and we dissent in 2012. We're the people who aren't prepared to accept the status quo. We dissent from the notion that we must be stuck forever in the politics of unionism versus nationalism. We dissent from the notion that some of our people are born unionists and some are born nationalists. We dissent from the utterly stultifying insistence that if change happens, it will be where one side outbreeds the other. We dissent from the rigid insistence that our future ended with the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. I was asked in a meeting with the SDLP recently, if you don't believe that we must stick with the Good Friday Agreement, what do you believe in? Well, let me tell you, we believe in a vision of a society where politics are more accountable than they are now, where politicians aren't labelled, where politicians who refuse to wear the labels don't see their electorates' votes counting for less, where all minorities are protected and cherished, and where we share power on the basis of what we agree to deliver rather than a simple carve-up. These are the things that drive me and drive this party, a vision of a politics transformed, a radical change to the future of our community. Conference, 2 years ago, I challenged you to win a seat at Westminster, and you delivered. Last year, I challenged you to receive a second ministerial post, and you delivered. I challenged you to win council seats in areas where we weren't represented, and you delivered. If any of you haven't noticed, in the last few years, we have changed the electoral map. While 5 years ago, there were four main parties, now there are five. Before, the median overlooked us. Now they look for us. So while we've achieved much, we won't rest. We have ambitious targets, and we will work relentlessly to achieve them. We have proven we can achieve, and we should settle for nothing less than continuing success. So what's next? What's the next stage in this party's growth? Well, let me tell you what I think. I think, in Naomi's words, it is time to lift the ceiling of our electoral ambitions. So here's a challenge for you, that in 2014, we will elect yet more Alliance councillors. Will you work to ensure that? Another challenge, that our seat in Parliament, Naomi's seat, is successfully defended in 2015, whatever the boundaries happen to be. We owe it to Naomi. Achieve that. And a third challenge to you. The third challenge, that by the time of the next Assembly elections, Alliance won't just be in the top five, but we will have moved this party upwards out of fifth place. Will you work to ensure that as well? Yeah. Conference, the last few years have been critical for the growth of Alliance. The years ahead will be critical for the future of our community. This party has been leading change, this party has been delivering change, and our community needs that change. The work of building Alliance, the work of building a genuinely shared future for all of the people must advance. Let's all commit to that. Thank you very much.